Welcome, everyone, to the Boca in English podcast. This is your host, Gabriel Aguero. I'm joined by Francisco Aure from Buenos Aires. Fran, how's everything, buddy?
Hi, Gabe. Good morning, everyone. Hello to everybody around the globe.
Facundo Salazar joining us from Miami. Facu, how's everything, my friend?
Hey, Gabe. Fran, how are you guys doing?
Hey.
We're all doing excellent. Boca overcame River in penalties, 4-2, I believe it was, after a 1-1 draw, which is the game we're going to discuss today. So we're all very pleased about that result. I want to take it to Fran first. Tell me how the streets are in Buenos Aires. I don't know if you've had a chance to leave your house today. I know with the COVID protocols, it's all very bizarre and weird. But tell me how the streets are. Have you seen any Boca jerseys? What's the talk of the town?
I have seen some, but I tried not to go out since things are not easy around here. The virus is getting really, really severe. So I didn't go out, but I've seen a few shots of the streets. And yeah, some shirts are, but it's a quiet day anyway.
Is it? Okay.
I think it was going to be the same if the game went otherwise.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha. All right, so let's take it to the game first. Go ahead and do a recap of yesterday's intense match. I don't know if I'm speaking for myself when I say this, but over the past couple of years, I tend to not enjoy Super Clásicos too much. Emotions were very high yesterday. It was a very frustrating game at some points. But let's go ahead and go with the lineup first. So we had Rossi in goal. The surprise was Bufarini at right back. Many expected to see Capaldo. We saw Izquierdos, Rojo, and Fabra. Rojo gets in, beating out Licha López in defense. In midfield, we had Medina, Varela, Almendra. And up top, we had Pavón, Tevez, and Villa. This was basically a 4-3-3. Some even said it was a 4-1-4-1, something along those lines. I'll take it to Facu first. Tell me your thoughts on Boca's performance, on the goal. Did you think it was a foul from Tevez on Maidana? I mean, personally, I don't think it was a foul. But tell me your thoughts, Facu.
Well, for me, it was a special game. I mean, one of my best friends from Argentina, he's a River fan, he was here. So we decided to actually watch the game together. So he came over, had a few people over, watched the game. You know, I was not as stressed as everybody else was.
Now tell me how was that, watching the game with another River fan? It was a lot of arguing, a lot of bickering back and forth.
Well, we were very respectful of each other. So we just commented the game throughout the game, you know, how I was seeing Boca, how he was seeing River. Of course, Boca scored, I scream. Then he scored, he just opened the window and screamed. So, like, the whole Miami town could hear it. And you're like, you're just being ridiculous, but whatever. So, I mean, it was good. I mean, we're, like, friends. We played soccer since we're, like, 3. So we were, like, more commenting on the game. He didn't make any excuses about the COVID cases because he actually believed that his team was solid besides the goalkeeper because that was his first game. But it was fine. I mean, then PK's very tense, obviously. I don't know. I feel like I was not worried at all during the whole game. I mean, I feel like Boca played good. I think that Boca had a lot of chances to actually win this game by 2 or 3 goals. Throughout the 1-0 game, I was always saying, fuck, they're going to score on us, they're going to tie if we don't actually finish this game. I felt that constantly after in the second half. Like, I feel like we had at least 2 or 3 chances that we should have put away, and we didn't. So that kind of, like, didn't help. But then when they tied, I was like, typical, you know, typical Boca players, because I blame the players for, you know, making that team come back. I mean, before the game, you know, we all knew what was happening in River's roster. So for me, it was like, this is done. This is has to be 100% a player's game. They never against River, they had the opportunity to actually individually be better than them, as a team be better than them. And they didn't take responsibility because of that. They didn't perform the way that probably most of us want. But, you know, they should have done a better homework. They knew they had a better team. We knew we had a better, you know, advantage. And they should have done, we should have won 2-3-0. But whatever, it didn't happen. We needed a win. We needed to break that knockout stage elimination that we've been suffering with them in the last 4 or 5 years. So it's good to rebuild. I mean, in the last administration, in 8 years, we lost every single time against River. Now, coming slowly with a team that's, we didn't buy anybody new, so you still come out on top against a, you know, very damaged River game, but it's a classical. You had to win. Who cares how? But I don't think that Boca had a bad game, so I give it to them. When it comes to the players, I think that Villa and Pavon didn't have a good game. If they would have had a game a little bit better, we should have won 2-3 nothing. I think that, you know, Almendra was a little bit off with his passes. And I saw a stat today that says like Villa and Pavon lost 49 balls, which sounds ridiculous. So if they would have done a little bit better, this game we should have gone in the 90 minutes and not into PKs. But I take the win. We needed to win. We needed to break that a curse that we had in the last 5-6 years. I went to the next round, went to a semifinal. We're 2 games away into winning 3 tournaments in a row, 3 local tournaments in a row. So for me, that's absolutely huge. And that's about it. I think that's what Boca should focus on. Win Libertadores during the week, win against Racing, and go to another final. It's, again, 3 finals in the last, what, 18 months? Yeah. I take it.
Pretty much. Domestically, we've done well so far, and we're on track to hopefully securing another title if things go our way, but there's still 2 games left to play. I'll take it to Fran next. Fran, tell me what your thoughts were on yesterday's Superclásico.
Well, I agree with Facu. There are some names in which at least I had some expectations which were not met, like Villa and Pavon, for example. We spoke a lot in the space before the game. We said Boca needs to field Pavon, Tevez and Villa. By that moment, about some 4 hours before the kickoff, it was not confirmed. The lineup was not confirmed. Both lineups were confirmed and officially announced some 30 to 45 minutes before the kickoff, which is quite after the limits. I think the River Plate had to pack the midfield. They suffered lots of losses from the midfield on, and not so many on defense. Having both fullbacks okay in both sides, they had to populate the midfield with them. Like, that's why Casco played as a number 8, for example. That's why Angeletti played, why Montiel played, despite he was supposed to be not in a good physical condition. So the fight was going to be set in the midfield. I thought that the MVA, Medina, Varela, and Almendra, could do a bit better against Poncio and Enzo Perez, and they did for some moments. But yeah, Almendra's game was not the best. Medina had some good passes, but not much more. And a couple of interventions in the box, not beyond that. Varela had to be replaced because he was booked. Campuzano did what he could, and well, I think it all came up went on to the penalty kicks. Boca could have won the game, but as soon as Boca started wasting chances, that allowed River Plate to grow stronger and stronger. And that's
what's the saying from Argentina. Goals missed on one end or scored on the other.
Exactly.
And I remember tweeting that, and I literally tweeted it, and 2 minutes later, we were at level the game.
I did the same. I told the same to the friends I was watching the game with.
Mm-hmm.
I was saying, hey, let's not be saying we must score again. Otherwise, they will equalize. I went to the kitchen to put some hot water for the mate, and as soon as I came back, Julian Alvarez headed the goal.
Mm-hmm.
Just like that.
Yeah, but one of the things that we had to point out, the Argentinian football is so leveled. Like, if you look at all the other 3 games, they all end up in PKs as well. And then you have a team, Racing, that, you know, came into the playoffs in the last second. They beat the best team. So, you know, we always forget how level everything is in Argentina. And I'm kind of proud of how Boca always come out on top. I mean, yes, we should have done better. We should have scored more, like Fran said, or we should have put it away. But it happens. You're more in a playoff stage, you know?
Fran, this is like, Facu, I'm sorry. This is now consecutive in 3-4 Superclásicos. All of the ones played this year, I think we were the better team. We deserve to win every single one, like Riquelme said, within the 90 minutes, and we don't put the game away. Yeah. You got to start putting these games away. Otherwise, you know, the coin's not going to flip on our side.
This
yeah, and it went to the penalty kicks because, guys, let's tell the truth. When Cardona missed the shots, we said, man, we had the advantage.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we'll talk about the Cardona penalty in just a second. Let me get into the stats real quick, though. In terms of ball possession, River had 52% to Boca's 48. Boca had 16 shots to River's 11. Boca had 15 chances created versus River's 9. Big chances, 3 for Boca, 0 for River. 7 shots off target apiece, 5 shots on target for Boca, 2 shots on target for River. What do I make of those statistics? I think the biggest selling point right now within the Argentine media is that River moved the ball better, but Boca had more chances to score. What the thing that I don't understand is how Boca keeps getting critiqued on not moving the ball around well, especially in the final third, not combining with 3, 4, 5 players in the final third to create an opportunity to score a goal. Meanwhile, River are able to do that, but they don't get clear-cut chances on goal. My question is it bad to say that Boca's build-up, Boca's circulation of the ball is bad, but considering the amount of chances we had on goal, we deserve to win? And you can also say that River moved the ball around very well, especially in the final third, but they hardly created any opportunities to score, and they really didn't bother Rossi except for 1 or 2 chances. I don't understand why that within Argentina is such a hard thing to grasp. Many people saying that River moved the ball around way better and deserved to win. You know, that selling point to me just doesn't make sense. I go off of, you know, not possession, not who moved the ball around better, not who had better passing accuracy, but who created more chances, who created more opportunities on goal, despite of the way those chances were created. It was Boca for me. I think considering the game as a whole, as you both have already pointed out very, very well, Boca had more opportunities, much better chances, especially from Tevez. And, you know, props to the River goalie, who this kid, I think, is their fifth string goalkeeper, had some really good stops, mostly against Tevez. There was a free kick from Villa that I don't know if you guys agree, but I saw that going in. I saw it in the net. I screamed goal for a quick second until I realized it went out of bounds.
Russo did as well.
Yeah, I think we all did. It was very close.
Yeah.
It was very, very close.
If the people on the bench do, what remains for the rest?
Yeah, absolutely.
So, but no, to point out your point, Gabby, I mean, the media in Argentina is very contradictory all the time. You know, they criticize Boca because we play a way that's different than River, and they say that we don't play good or we don't look pretty. But that's the same media that actually goes out and celebrates when Caniche scored against Brazil in a terrible game. So it's always because Boca has that feeling that they want us to show a better ball placement and better movement and all that. But Boca historically has always done playing like this. So I'm not surprised. Like, if you read Boca's history, it's always been like this. And these games are supposed to be won. So Boca played bad, yes. But we generated more than the rival. Injustice. Was it justice? Yes, it was. Like, we deserved to win. We deserved to be the winner. They didn't at all, because, like you said, Rossi was not in danger at all during the whole game. Is it worried for us facing the future? Yes, of course. We always want to do better and be better. But if you look at all the points, like today, everyone forgets how you win the game. You just want to win it. That's a real story here.
Absolutely. It's clear that the approaches are different. It's clear that both teams' approaches are completely different.
And you know what is a good click for us? That maybe 2 years ago, we would have lost this game. And again, we played like shit. We could have done better, but we still made it on top. So I take ownership, but I take pride of this. Like, right, 2 years ago, we wouldn't be crying. Now we're happy. So let's break that barrier. Let's break that elimination, you know, curse that we had, and we're moving into the next round. Now we have the Copa Argentina against them. If we beat them again, oh, let's go. It's we took that karma out, you know, like, oh, we cannot beat them. That's it. It's over. Now we can move past that and be better and do better.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a couple more players that I want to touch on. You already mentioned it. I believe it was Yufaku. Bijan Pavon had pretty poor performances. They lost tons and tons of balls. In defense, Bufalini once again making the same mistake, and we were talking about this before I hit the record button. He made the same mistake that he did against Patronato, allowing his man tons of space, allowing him to send in a cross, and we concede the same exact goal against River. I don't even remember how many times now. I think the last four or five goals that they scored against us were all the same from the left side. They cross it in and one of their players gets to the ball and heads in. Bufalini really needs to close down his man, close down that angle and really get on him. Why? I don't understand what they're giving, why he's allowing these players to send in crosses, especially River, who are so lethal from that aspect. I think Izquierdos arguably, I want to say, was the man of the match. Rossi was the hero during the penalties. We all know that. But in the 90 minutes, Izquierdos was absolutely spectacular. Rojo, I thought, had a poor performance. The one thing that I will say that I can see why Miguel Ángel Russo plays Rojo over Licha López is his passing ability and his passing range from deep is tremendous. He's able to pick out a player. I remember this one pass. Rojo was moving in towards the left, and he crosses the ball diagonally all the way on the opposite side where Pavón was. It was a perfect, perfect ball. Found him perfectly. That's a pass that neither Izquierdos or Licha López can do. At least I've never seen them do it before. So Rojo's passing ability is superb. But defensively, he was poor. Fabra, once again, poor defensively, walking in some parts of the match. Now, the question is with Fabra, and I know we discussed this in the group, is he overweight, at least for a soccer player? I'm starting to think he is. I don't think he's really fit as he should be. In midfield, I like Varela's game. Medina was okay. Almendra wasn't so good. And up top, we already mentioned Pavón and Villa. And Tevez actually had a pretty good game, got a couple good looks. Fortunately for River, he was unable to get those looks in the back of the net, except for that one diving header, which is spectacular. But now I want to go into the penalties, and I have a question for you guys. And I'll go with Fran first. Tell me what you thought of Cardona's penalty, the panqueca, I don't know, however you call it in English.
A pancake?
Panenka.
Panenka. Something like
panenka.
That.
Panenka, yeah, panenka. He was the player, the Czech player who popularized the breakfast way of over the penalty.
So tell me what you thought.
Yeah, in Argentina, Cardona's to be a pancake, in Argentina, to be a pancake is to change, to turn around your speech suddenly. For example, let's suppose I think, I criticized or I always praise Cardona and I say, yeah, he's the best in the world. And now he says, and now he misses this penalty. And I say, he's the worst. We should take him off the club. Well, that's to be a pancake in Argentina, to turn around what you think.
To flip your script.
To go against what you said previously.
Exactly. I never like shooting penalties in that kind of way. If I'm a fan, I prefer to blame the player or to get mad because the player shoots high, trying to secure it with a powerful shot, rather than missing a penalty for that. But I understand it's the way Colombians have to feel are supposed to feel football. They are easygoing in everything. Cardona himself is easygoing as a football player. He's relaxed in the field all the time, and so he is.
Yeah, he's comfortable with his penalty execution.
Yeah. Yes, that's it. I would never do that, but that's it.
Paco, what did you think?
It's the fourth time he does it with Boca. It's the first time he misses. It happens. It's a way of shooting a PK. If he would have got, you know, strong like Visha and hit the post, he still a miss. So, I mean, do I like seeing? I don't care. As long as it goes in, I mean, it's his way of feeling comfortable taking PKs. You make it, you look like a genius. You make it, you look ridiculous. Look at Zidane in the World Cup final. Zidane was inches away of doing that and missing a PK in the World Cup final, and everybody praises him for having the balls of doing it. Sometimes you miss, sometimes you score. That's football. Whatever. He feels comfortable doing that. I'd rather, PKs are, people that miss PKs is because they came out and said, I want to take one. So I'm not against anybody that takes PKs like that, because if you had the balls to take a PK in a Boca River in a such, you know, high stakes game, do whatever you want to score it, which is fine. This way it didn't go his way. It happens.
Yeah. Yeah, I think, you know, it's a little unfair how the media is being against Cardona, saying that he only did it because it was a fifth string goalkeeper, and had money been in goal, he wouldn't have done it. No, I think Cardona would have done it anyways.
I disagree. Yeah. We all know that that's stupid.
Cardona would have done it anyways. Yeah, they're saying that he took advantage of the 21-year-old keeper who was debuting. I don't think so. Cardona has always...
What kind of advantage can you take? I disagree with that.
Well, from his inexperience, so they say. But again, I don't agree. Cardona has taken penalties like this, not only with Boca, but at other clubs he's been at. Now, this is what I will say, though. Me personally, I'm not going to say Cardona was right, and I'm not going to say he was wrong. Me personally, considering the circumstances of the game, I would have smashed the ball in. Smashed the ball. But that's just me. That's just because I feel comfortable taking a penalty kick like that. Cardona feels comfortable chipping the ball, and that's totally fine. But you do run the risk of kind of looking a little silly and putting your team at risk by doing so. I'm not going to say he was right. I'm not going to say he was wrong. That's, again, the way he feels comfortable taking a penalty. I personally would have smashed the ball in, completely smashed it in.
I would have done the same. And also, it's not. I respect what Facu thinks. I disagree. It's not the way I prefer to be considered a genius, not by chipping a penalty. But, of course, points of view, and it's okay.
Yeah, I mean, it depends. And you know, Facu brought up a great point with Zidane in a World Cup final. He did it at the biggest stage, and the ball was inches away from being called out and not being scored and considered as a penalty. You know, it depends. These are players who feel comfortable doing that. Again, me personally, in the Copa de la Liga final, I wouldn't have done it, let alone in a World Cup final. I definitely wouldn't have done it. But that's just these characteristics and these mindsets and this ability that inherits these types of players who are comfortable taking a penalty kick like that.
The media is going to criticize whatever he does.
I'm sorry?
The media would criticize him whatever he does.
Yeah.
If he would have shot it like we want it, then people say, oh, now that it's against River, he's not going to chip it. I was like, we can never win, dude.
If he was born in Argentina, he would have done it, and it would have gone in. They would have praised him as a god.
Remember
Messi. So Messi does it against a team, Getafe, winning 5-0, and he's a god. I mean,
Having a large advantage in the shootouts, Alexis Sanchez sealed the 2015 Copa America chipping the shot against Argentina as well. But Argentina had already missed two shots, and it was 3-1. So Alexis Sanchez scored the 4-1.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think
it happens
when it's football. I think.
Yeah,
but all in all, it happens. It's football. It's a way of taking the PK. Full stop.
I think it's good to also point out that Rossi was a little shaky in the 90 minutes. He lost one ball in the box that almost led to River's second, going up 2-1. There was another cross sent in by a River player where Rossi dives to go punch the ball and completely misses it. And then Montiel takes a shot as Favre blocks it. So I think Rossi overall was shaky in the first, the initial 90 minutes. But ultimately, he came through as a hero in the penalty kick, saving two. One was Buncio's penalty, and I don't remember who the other player was.
The other missed penalty?
Yeah, by River.
Okay. Montiel, I think. No, Montiel scored. No,
Poncio
Montiel scored
and Angileri. Angileri and Poncio.
Angileri, that's it.
Rossi did well to block.
No, Montiel scored a brilliant penalty kick. Montiel has already confirmed himself as a fantastic penalty taker.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think I liked were Izquierdo's. I liked his penalty, and I like Villa's penalty too. Nice and hard. Mm-hmm. I think both of them were straight down the middle.
The opposite. Villa was inches away of being a villain again because the ball hit the crossbar and went in.
What do you mean again? He scored the only other penalty he had against River. When was the last time we played? Was it in March? February, March?
Yes, 14.
In January, he scored a penalty kick in January, I think.
Or was it the March. One in January? No, I think it was the one in March.
No, it was
in March.
It was the one March, one. Right. Yeah. What I mean, Bisha was inches away of being a villain because his shot was very well taken, but it hit the crossbar and went in.
It was measured well. I was also a little nervous with Carlitos going up first, but he did well to tuck his in. Overall, guys, I know you guys are very pleased with Boca's win. I definitely am. So as we take a look at what's to come, in terms of the bracket, first, it goes without saying that all four quarterfinal matches went into penalties. That's as bizarre as Argentine football gets. But we're going to see Racing in the semifinals. The game is most likely going to be played on Sunday. It hasn't been confirmed yet by Liga AFA. Date and time to be determined, but most likely will be on Sunday, considering, as Fran pointed out when we were discussing this in the group, Boca play this Thursday at home against Barcelona, and Racing play in the Copa Libertadores that they're in. Or are they in the yes. Copa Sudamericana?
No, Libertadores, they and play against Sao Paulo.
On Tuesday, okay.
It's Tuesday after the game, and we play on Thursday before.
Exactly. The other match is Independiente Colón. So a lot of people actually want to see Independiente Racing in the final. But we're going to do everything possible to hopefully not allow that to happen. I feel like that's it for this podcast, guys. You guys have anything else to add?
Nope.
Not for me. I think we can make a prediction for the weekend when we record after playing against Barcelona, perhaps.
Mm-hmm.
This is a huge win. It's going to give us some momentum. Now we have to focus on Thursday. That's the biggest game of the week. If we win, I said that if we win, we're 99% into the next round. So let's hope we go out, we win, and you know we take it to the next level for the Libertadores as well.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah, tricky game at home against Barcelona for the group stages of the Copa Libertadores. A win would project Boca, as Fak already said, into the next round of the international competition before we face Racing, most likely on Sunday. It should also be pointed out that we do have a pending Super Clásico in the Copa Argentina in the, I think, what is it, round of 64? I believe it is round of 64, round of 32. I think it's round of 32. This match against River is the next head-to-head match between both clubs within this new era of Riquelme taking office. And that match will most likely be paid at the end of July, August. That hasn't been confirmed. And, you know, both teams will probably already reinforced.
The round of 16.
Is it the round of 16?
Yeah.
That's the thing with the Copa Argentina. It's played, it's so separate from everything else. You play once every 3 years, and I don't even know what round it is. So thank you, Pablo. Yeah. Round of 16 between Boca and River. It's going to be played most likely July, August, around then.
Not before the Copa America.
No. There's no time because there's also qualifiers, World Cup qualifiers, in the beginning of June, and then the Copa America right after. Mm-hmm. We already have European-based players flying into Argentina currently those leagues conclude. Anyways, Fran, Facu, thank you guys. Thank you, gentlemen, for joining me today. To our listeners, thank you so much for tuning in, and until next time.